doctor, took the cast off, and I obviously, because it's at the bottom of my foot, I can't see it as well. Monica looked at it, and the doctor, and they said it definitely had made some improvements, right, Monica? So, he allowed me to take the cast off so I could fly. That's why I look like a preacher today. I've been looking like I don't know what here the last several weeks around here. But I'm glad to be, I never thought I'd be so glad to get a tie on my born days. But I'm glad to be a part of the sect of people who knows how to dress for a change. Oh, that was cute. But, yeah. All right, nursery time. Do we have nursery today? Sandy's back that way, so all those who five and under want to go to the nursery, you're welcome to go. Absolutely. Sandy will be back there.
How are you?
Would you rather listen to Poppy or go to the nursery? Man, when your own family runs out on you, man. If I could go, I'd go myself, you know. All right, folks, we're going to deal with a subject matter called, see if you've ever heard of this. You ever heard the word temptation? Do you know what it means to be tempted? You know, even Jesus was tempted. We're going to find this out. But how do you deal with temptation? When you know you get ready to do something that's wrong, and yet you go ahead and do it. Now, Satan is the author of temptation. God is the author of getting you through temptation. Because God cannot protect you from your own self. You understand that? I mean, God does not build us like robots. We have a mind to think. We have a heart to rationalize our decisions, how we act, what we do, the choices that we make in life. Everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. Just about the time we think we're starting to live for God, here comes Satan just to put something right in front of us. And here's how Satan will do it. He'll say, it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. It'll be all right. You know, God will forgive you. Go ahead. Go ahead. You've earned it. Can't you hear Satan talking to you like that? Understand this one thing. God also says, through his word, we're going to look at it in a minute, that there will never be a temptation that comes in front of you that God will not give you the strength to go around it, go over it, go through it, or get it out in front of you. And all you have to say is, Jesus, I need some help. Don't you think you're so holy and such a big Christian that you can work it out on your own? Because you can't work out nothing on your own. Outside of Jesus, you will fall for the trap every time. I don't care who you are, from preachers on down. Understand this before I get into the series here. You are responsible for your actions, even if no one else knows the actions but you. See, sometimes we think, well, nobody knows about it. We call it a secret. Let me tell you something, folks. God knows every secret that you've got. Do you understand that? He does. I'm here from the little to the old. He knows. You're not going to fool him. And if the rest of the world don't know it, he does. But he's also the one that can forgive, forget, and get it off your back. Because here's the real question of whether or not you're a Christian. Is when you yield to temptation, you are to feel like you're lower than dirt. And if you you don't. But I'd say there's something wrong with your salvation. Now, you know good and well, you know right from wrong, but it goes even deeper than that. When you do something wrong toward your relationship with God, if you've got a relationship with God, you're going to know it. Is that true? Huh? That's true, isn't it? You're going to know it. And then when it begins to rip out your heart, and you think, man, I have really messed up. But here's the wonderful thing about amazing grace. When I go to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I have wronged you. I have wronged this person. I yielded to temptation. I know good and well what I did was wrong. Father, will you forgive me? Number one. Number two, give me the strength. Give me the strength not to make this kind of choices again in my life. And then number three, help me forgive myself. When those three things happen, you can get over it, you can get through it, you can get around it, and you can get on the other side. Because you know why? Because you're worth it. I don't care what you are. Teenager, you're worth it. I don't care what choices you made in life. You're still worth saving today. And if you're watching me by internet, God loves you, cares for you, died on the cross for you. His son died on the cross for you because he thought you were worth it. You are worth it to be saved, to be forgiven, and be a part of the family of God. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, I read you the introduction as I read every week. Listen to it. Thoughts are things, powerful things. Our thoughts have the power to lift us up or hold us back. Our prevailing attitudes have the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction, joy or pain, peace or stress, success or failure. The subject today, how do you deal with temptation? You ready to take the journey? Say amen. Here we go. Because our world is filled with temptations, with an S on it, we confront them at every turn. Every moment of your life, you have to deal with temptation. Some of these temptations are small. Oh, man. Should I eat that last piece of chocolate cake? When all of the nurses at church say, leave it alone. I hear Marshall's voice say, don't touch it. Don't touch it. I hear my wife screaming, leave it alone! Leave it alone! Even my more precious mother, been passed away almost a year, whispers in my ear, don't go there. Don't do that. So that's little stuff. But then we deal with other stuff. It's on a much grander scale that destroys lives. Temptation can be something small or it can be something big. But understand, it's there. The devil! Y'all know who he is, don't you? You deal with him every day, don't you? The devil, it seems, is working overtime these days, causing heartache in more places. Listen this closely. And in more ways than ever before. You think that's a true statement? I guarantee he's working overtime. He's trying to destroy your life, trying to destroy your home, trying to destroy your kids, trying to destroy your job, trying to destroy your health. And if he can get away with it, he'll do it. He'll do it. But I've always said this, and I've said this for 40 years, and I'm going to say it again under this subject matter. Satan only has as much power as you give him. Let me say that one more time. Understand this. Listen to me closely. He only has as much power. Is he powerful? Yes, he is. Do you know why he's powerful? Because you give him the power. When you yield to temptation, and you make the choices in life that you know are wrong, and you begin to feel that guilt, and you begin to understand that, you know just how powerful Satan is. Because, let me tell you something, folks. Satan only has as much power as you give him, but let me tell you, there's something more powerful than Satan. And it is you. And that was the big if. If Jesus is inside of you, I promise you, Jesus is more powerful than Satan. Give the Lord a hand of applause. You got that right. We as Christians must remain vigilant. Not only must we resist Satan when he confronts us, but we must also avoid those places where Satan can most easily tempt us. Now, folks, I can stay here all day. Places. Where? Now, don't answer this out loud, but I want you to ask yourself, where is Satan more likely to tempt you? Now, you're smart people. I don't care what your education level is. We got five-year-olds in older places they don't need to be. Only you can answer this question, because I'm going to tell you why. Because Holy Spirit's going to tell you. You don't need to be there. Now, there are obvious places that we know you can go and get in trouble. But there's some places that not just as obvious as you think they are. They can get you in trouble. Folks, you've got to understand something. Jesus may go with you wherever you go, but he ain't proud of where he has to go sometimes to find you. With me? God is with me wherever I go, but it's the same where he's had to go to find my child. It don't make no difference if nobody else don't know it. See, here's the thing that Satan will come at you with, folks. You gotta understand this. Hey, if your wife don't know it, it don't matter. If your husband don't know it, it don't matter. If your preacher don't know it, it doesn't matter. If your friends don't know it, it doesn't matter. If your parents don't know it, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, because it matters to God. This means, yeah, I agree with that. I want to make sure you wait. Because when I say things really important, I want to make sure you understand it. Because it don't get no better than that. God knows every place we go, every move we're in, everything that comes out of our mouth. Can you imagine that? Everything you've ever said, God knows about that? Wow! And someone said to me one time, said, you know, I don't think I have to ask for forgiveness every day, maybe about once a week. Well, that's wonderful, because I sure can't go that long. Matter of fact, I ask for forgiveness 3 or 4 times a day. Maybe 8 or 9 times a day, maybe. Man drives a school bus. Every moment he's asking for forgiveness. I mean, we understand, maybe life's not easy, and life gets hard sometimes, but God is with you in every step of it. Just remember this one thing, Satan will put you in the situation, he'll tempt you, he'll test you, and let's see where we come. Everybody here is failed, ain't nobody here perfect. Only one perfect person ever been in my life, and that's been Jesus Christ. But folks, we can't use that as a crutch. You say, well, you know, I'm not perfect, so all right, we'll get away with some things. You're not going to get away with nothing. I don't know. What do you get away with? Because people told me, well, they told me testimony. Well, I tell you, man, 1995, I got away with this, but God saved me in 1980. No, you didn't get away with that. You get away with that. I think I turned that in reverse. Let me say that again. I got away with something in 1980, and it was saved in 1995. And maybe in some, maybe it does reverse. We do things after we're saved too. Understanding this. God knows everything. Now to me, I think that's good. Because if he knows everything, when I ask for forgiveness and I mean it, he can forgive everything. And believe me, I need to be forgiven. I need to be forgiven daily. For what I go, I mean where I go, what I do, what I say, what I think, my temper, my mouth. Your mouth ever get you in trouble? Say yes, Carl.
Yes.
Let me give you an example of the difference between men and women. This is free. I ain't charging for this. Halftime. Ball game last night, Carl called me. On the phone, and it wasn't pleasant. Now, we didn't see it, did we, Carl?
No, I didn't have a temptation. My temptation was to break the TV. But the fix of the temptation was Renee reminded me of $600.
And if you would be able to pay for it. Now, Carl and I are having a conversation. He said, what's mom to think about the ball game? Oh, she don't know. Where's Monica at? Oh, she's on the computer. I said, what's Renee think about the ball game? Oh, she's on the computer. A big ball game. We're into this game. We're aggravated. Don't even know there's a ball game on.
Oh, I do. I can hear him.
Oh, you can hear him.
That's why I wasn't going in there.
That's the difference between men and women. There you go. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Even Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted. But you know what? Jesus said, and I'll put it my own way, get away from me. I don't have time for you. See what I do have time for? I got time for my people. Eve had time to go to the cross. He took time out to die so that you could have everlasting life. That's who I want to serve. I don't want nothing to do with Satan. He wants everything to do with me, but I don't want anything to do with him. And the more I get into God's Word, the more I come to God's house, and the more that I talk with God through prayer, Satan runs when I tell him you're done. See, it used to be when Satan would come to me, I was just a young Christian, young in age, young Christian. I'd say, Satan, get away. He'd just laugh at me. You know why he laughed at me? Because he knew I couldn't back it up. You know, I just like, if you come up against somebody that's twice your size, and you threaten them, they laugh at you. I had a young man tell me here, and he was in grade school. He said he was picked on. He said this same kid, this kid was in the second grade, this kid was in the fifth grade, picked on him. Shoved him around. You know, this bullying thing is getting out of hand. It's cool, let me tell you something. One day, he comes out. This bully's waiting for him. Bully comes up. Calls him names. He started crying and he felt something on the back. It was his dad. That size of joke. What do you think a 50-year-old kid apologized in rain? Folks, we've got something behind us that's bigger than us when Satan comes to us. And when Satan comes and we say, move away from me, get behind me, and we've got Jesus behind us, he runs. Now, when he runs, what you need to do is take Jesus from behind you with Jesus in front of you. And then, when you do that, and you start following Jesus, Satan has to come through Jesus first before he comes to you. Now let me tell you something. He's got to come through Jesus first. He's not going to get to Roger. But when I think I'm holier than thou, and I think it's all about me, and I think sort of put Jesus behind me, I bet I'm wide open target for Satan. Here he comes. Here he comes. But understand this. Even when you put Jesus behind you, he's still behind you looking at you. As I say week after week after week after week, that wonderful poem for Friends and Saints. You know, we complain. Here we are, we're walking beside each other. God, we're buddies. Jesus, we're buddies. Holy Spirit, we're buddies. Least little trouble comes along. Hello, Dad, there ain't no footprints. Where'd you go? I mean, somebody says, for you, where'd I go? I'm there, those are my footprints. Because I put you on my back. Understand this one thing. No matter what you face in life, no matter what temptations you face in life, no matter what you're dealing with, you're not in this alone if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not in it alone. Period. And I don't care what your age. I don't care what you face at school, what you face at work. I promise you, if you know Jesus, he's with you every step of the way. What do you think? All right, Larry. Look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as a man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with temptation make also the way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. You've heard that verse all your life. He's not going to put anything in front of you that you can't overcome. But you can't overcome it by yourself. You've got to be faithful. You've got to be a person of faith. When you are, you will endure it. Now, you know what endure means? It means I've been in a fight, I've been in a battle, and I've got some scars, but I'm still standing. That's what that means. You know, Jesus left this world with some scars too. You remember that? But he's alive. Folks, it's not the scars that kill you. It's when you just think about the scars all day long. When you complain about the scars. Quit complaining about the scars in your life and start standing for Jesus. Next thing you know, the scars will be healed. Next thing you know, the scars begin. I've had open heart surgery. Been split right down my chest. You can't even hardly tell me anymore. It's been a while ago. It's been healed. It's put together. Is there a scar? Yeah, I can see it. And I'm thankful for that scar on occasions, because when I look at it, if it wasn't for that scar, I'd be dead. You get the point? Sometimes life throws you some scars. If not, you might be in hell. Sometimes them scars allows you to understand what salvation is all about. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Blessed is the man from James 1:12 that endured temptation, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life. What's the Lord promise to them that love you? Crown of life. There are several crowns in the Bible. I've done several series on this. Now, we all know, folks, that as a child of God, every person receives one crown. If you remember in our study of Revelation, you remember there where it says we lay the crowns at the feet of Jesus? The more crowns you have, the more you lay at the feet of Jesus, which means the better the servant you can be in. I don't care, you can be late in life and start gathering crowns. All crowns are is what we call rewards for acting like you got some sins. Rewards for being a Christian. Rewards for doing the right thing, saying the right thing. Rewards for being forgiven. Rewards for making a change in your life and affecting that change. And when you do that, God's going to take care of you. And in the New Testament, they call it rewards. Now here's what's great. One day I get to pay back to Jesus for all this. Whatever crowns I have, whether I've got one or I've got 1,000, they're just temporarily given to me. Because the reason I was able to receive that crown, get that crown, is because Jesus died on the cross for me. You understand that? Died on the cross for me. Forgave me. Forgave me. Not only did he forgive me, he changed me. Not only did he change me, he offered me a new way of life. Now, he didn't force it on me. My choice. Thank God I made the right choice. Have you made the right choice? Have you accepted Jesus? Do you know Jesus? If you're watching me on the internet, find you a good church. Find you a church where the preacher's preaching Jesus and get in it. Stay there. Accept Jesus. And it's pretty simple to do. All you do is say, Jesus, forgive me. If you come up here in a few minutes during the invitation hymn, you say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I'm going to just say, let's have a word of prayer. And in that prayer, we're going to ask the Lord to forgive you of everything that you've ever done. And he will do it if you're serious, if you're sincere. And from this moment on, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All your looks didn't change. I don't care about the looks. It's what's inside that gets you to heaven, not on the outside. And from that point on, you become a new person. You've been honored by Jesus Christ. And your past has been forgiven. And you understand what it is to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. I can't make that any more simpler. Understand that. Whether I got 5 people in front of me, you got 50 people in front of me, or if I got 1,000 people watching me through the camera, understand this. This is what salvation is all about. And it's up to you. It's up to you. You make the choice. Stand with me. Is there any other crowd? I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, John Rowan. Father, if there's someone here that's lost, they know they've never made a public confession that Jesus is the Lord of their life. Father, we're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make it right with them. Father, I pray for everyone in this congregation. To those who would come and take me by the hand and pray with them, to those who may need a quiet time of his own. Especially those who need you as Lord and Savior. Father, the time is running, the clock is running. One day you're coming for your people. It's time for people to get it right. Today is the day of salvation. Father, bless these moments. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if God has touched you and you need me to have a word of prayer with you, you'll come. If you need a quiet time of dissolving, nobody will bother you. You come and have a quiet time of God. But when you come,